अच भगवान अपि ताह रात्रिः शारद उत्फुल्ल मल्लिकाः वीक्ष्य रन्तुं मनः चक्रे योगमायाम् उपाश्रितः श्रीबादरायणीरुवाच भगवानपि तारात्री शारदोत्फुल्लमल्लिकाः वीक्ष्यरन्तुं मनश्चक्रे योगमायाम् उपाश्रितः श्रीबादरायणीरुवाच भगवानपि तारात्री शारदोत्फुल्लमालिकाः वीक्ष्यरन्तुं मनश्चक्रे योगमायाम् उपाश्रितः श्रीबादरायणीरुवाच भगवानपि तारात्री शारदोत्फुल्लमल्लिकाः वीक्ष्यरन्तुं मनश्चक्रे योगमायाम् उपाश्रितः श्रीबादरायणीरुवाच भगवानपि तारात्री शारदोत्फुल्लमल्लिकाः वीक्ष्यरन्तुं मनश्चक्रे योगमायामुपाश्रितः श्रीबादरायणीरुवाच भगवानपि तारात्रिः शारदोत्फुल्लमल्लिकाः वीक्ष्यरन्तुं मनश्चक्रे योगमायामुपाश्रितः भगवानपि तारात्री शारदोत्फुल्लमल्लिका वीक्षरन्तुं मनश्चक्रे योगमायामुपाश्रितः श्रीबादरायणीरुवाच भगवानपि तारात्रिः शारदोत्फुल्लमल्लिकाः वीक्ष्यरन्तुं मनश्चक्रे योगमायामुपाश्रितः वर्ड् फार् वर्ड् ट्रान्स्लेशन् श्रीबादरायणी उवाच श्री शुकदेव द सन ऑफ श्रील बादरायण वेद व्यास सेड भगवान कृष्ण द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड अपि ऑल्दो ताह दोज रात्रिः नाइट्स शारद ऑफ ऑटम उत्फुल्ल ब्लॉजमिंग मल्लिका जैस्मिन फ्लावर्स वीक्ष्य सी रंतुम टू एंजॉय लव मन चक्रे ही मेड अप हिज माइंड योग मायाम हिज स्पिरिचुअल पोटेंसी that makes the impossible possible upashritah resorting to. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Sri Badarayani said, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences. Yet, upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, He turned His mind towards loving affairs. To fulfill His purposes, He employed His internal potency. Purport: As we begin the famous narration of Lord Krishna's Rasa dance, a dance of love with beautiful young girls, questions will inevitably arise in the minds of ordinary people regarding the propriety of God's romantic dancing with many young girls in the middle of a full moon autumn night. In His descriptions of the Lord's Rasa dance in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada painstakingly explains the spiritual purity of these transcendental activities. Those advanced in the science of Krishna, the great teachers or acharyas, leave no doubt that Lord Krishna is full and satisfied in Himself, free of all material desires, which is, after all, a sense of incompleteness or lack. Materialistic persons and impersonal philosophers stubbornly reject the bona fide explanations of Sri Krishna's transcendental nature. Excuse me. There is no reason to deny the beautiful reality of an absolute person able to perform absolute romantic activities, of which our so-called romance is merely a shadow or perverted reflection. The irrational insistence that material activities cannot be a reflection of the perfect spiritual activities performed by God reflects the unimaginative emotional disposition of those who oppose the reality of Sri Krishna. This psychological disposition of the non-devotees, which leads them to fervently deny the very existence of the Absolute Person, unfortunately boils down to what may be succinctly described as envy, since the overwhelming majority of the impersonal critics eagerly pursue their own romantic affairs, which they consider quite real and even spiritual. The actual supreme lover is Lord Krishna. The Vedanta Sutra begins by declaring that the absolute truth is the source of everything, and even Western philosophy was born in a somewhat awkward attempt at finding the original one behind the apparent many of material existence. Conjugal love, one of the most intense and demanding aspects of human existence, can hardly have anything at all to do with supreme reality. In fact, the conjugal love experienced by human beings is a mere reflection of spiritual reality, in which the same love exists in an absolute pristine state. Thus, it is clearly stated here that when Krishna decided to enjoy the romantic atmosphere of autumn, in quotes, He resorted to His spiritual potency, yoga mayam upashritaha. The spiritual nature of Lord Krishna's conjugal affairs is a major theme in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. A woman is attractive because of the sweet sound of her voice, her beauty and gentleness, her enchanting fragrance and tenderness, and also because of her cleverness and skill in music and dance. The most attractive ladies of all are the young gopis of Vrindavan, who are Lord Krishna's internal potency. And this chapter tells how He enjoyed their brilliant feminine qualities, even though, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has mentioned, Lord Krishna was an 8-year-old boy when these events took place. Ordinary people prefer God simply to be a witness of their romantic affairs. When a boy desires a girl, or a girl desires a boy, sometimes they pray to God for their enjoyment. Such people are shocked and dismayed to find out that the Lord can enjoy His own loving affairs with His own transcendental senses. In truth, Sri Krishna is the original Cupid, and His exciting conjugal pastimes will be described in this section of the Bhagavatam. When Lord Krishna descends to the earth, His spiritual body seems to take birth and grows as He displays His variegated pastimes. The Lord could hardly allow His boyhood to pass without exhibiting the supreme loving affairs between a young boy and a young girl. Thus, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes Srila Rupa Goswami as follows. Kaishoram saphali karoti kalayan kunje viharam harihi. Lord Hari perfects His youth by arranging loving pastimes in the groves of the Vrindavan forest. Om ajnanatimirandhasya jnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jala Premadhya Shri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Shri Gaurak Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupa Nuga Virudha Pasiddhanta Dvanta Harine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Shri Chaitanya Namine Gauratushe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this morning, I am sitting here speaking on this first verse of this first chapter of the Rasa Panchadhyayi from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the crest jewel of all the, these five chapters are the crest jewel of the 10th canto and of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, and contain the essence of what Srimad Bhagavatam has to offer us. Somehow I find myself here on this Vyasasan, in spite of being completely unqualified. Due to certain turn of events, it so happened I was supposed to give class 2 days ago, and I could not be here, and therefore then Baldev Prabhu asked me that, can you give class on Saturday? So he said, don't worry, you can speak on disappearance pastime of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Many devotees came up to me from the ashram and they said, Prabhuji, please don't take this exit route. Please don't do that. And I was like totally caught up. Being the fool that I am, I think that I can speak. But what is required here is much more than an ability to articulate words or put words in a very nice format. Actually, it is very best captured by His Holiness Mahavishnu Maharaj. Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, one of His quotes which always I love, His quotes about Srimad Bhagavatam, and that actually encapsulates it best. He says, the secret to relishing Srimad Bhagavatam and studying it daily is to pray to the Lord to always put Srimad Bhagavatam into practice by development of our character as devotees. If there is no significant change to our habits and our character, then reading Srimad Bhagavatam is simply an exercise for name and fame. So, till now, it's like that. So, an ability to speak well, an ability to be able to speak well in English is not, even to have read Srimad Bhagavatam is not the criteria to be speaking about this subject matter. The criteria is much more deeper, much more internal. Whatever I have heard from my Gurudev and also from my senior God brothers here in Sri Radha Gopinath temple, I will try to speak something based on that, but I am in no way qualified to be starting on this topic here. So, I will just begin with a disclaimer which Srila Prabhupada himself gives us in the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Prabhupada immediately he gives us this in the preface itself. What is the qualification to read Srimad Bhagavatam? He said, the only qualification one needs to study this great book of transcendental knowledge is to proceed step by step, cautiously, and not jump forward haphazardly like with an ordinary book. It should be gone through chapter by chapter, one after another. The reading matter is so arranged with its original Sanskrit text, its English transliteration, synonyms, translations and purports, so that, now this is the most important part, so that one is sure to become a God-realized soul at the end of finishing the first 9 cantos. This is the assurance Srila Prabhupada gives, provided we do the previous part, that we go step by step cautiously without jumping haphazardly. And then, again, he qualifies further, the 10th canto is distinct from the first 9 cantos because it deals directly with the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. And again, I mean, he puts more emphasis on what he has said just two lines before. One will be unable to capture the effects of the 10th canto without going through the first 9 cantos. Prabhupada is very, very blunt, very clear. We will be unable to capture the effects of the 10th canto without going through the first 9 cantos. And what to speak of even within the 10th canto, these specific 5 chapters, which are like some of the most misunderstood religious teachings in the world. These 5 chapters. And what is the cause of this misunderstanding? Prabhupada has given us. What is the cause? Because this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is a very exact science. There is a very specific method to executing Krishna consciousness. It's a simple method, but it is very exact, very specific. And the moment we move away or veer away from that particular specific method, it is immediately obvious, at least to the practitioner himself. Like it is said, bhakti pareshanubhavo virakti ranyatracha. So we don't know, we might not have an experience what is exactly pareshanubhavo. So we may make a mistake whether I am actually having pareshanubhava. But there is another checks and balance, and the other aspect of it is viraktir anyatracha. So even if we are not experiencing paresha, if we are not having paresha anubhava, that means the experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if we are not experiencing that, we may not understand what we are experiencing because we don't know what it is. But the checks and balances, it gives us another way to judge whether what we are doing in devotional service is, whether we are on the right path or whether we are deviating, veering away from the specific exact method which is giving. And that is virakti ranyatracha. So when we are prosecuting, when we are executing devotional service, then not only that the execution of devotional service gives us an experience of the divine, not only that we have a paresha anubhava, but also automatically there is a viraktir anyatracha. That means there is a total detachment from any other thing which is not connected in any way to Krishna or Krishna's service or Krishna's devotees. So that is the benchmark, the litmus test, which we are more capable of identifying with. We may not be able to understand whether we are going through pareshanubhava, because that has not been there in our experience since lifetimes. Since time immemorial, we don't have experience of that. So we may not understand what I am going through. We might mistake something else for pareshanubhava. But this, we are definitely experienced with. And that is anyatra. We are definitely experienced with everything else which is not connected with Krishna, which you have been always doing throughout millions of lifetimes. So, we can judge whether I am experiencing virakti ranyatracha, whether I am experiencing some detachment from other subject matters. And that will give us a judgment or a benchmark on which we can make a judgment whether am I actually executing this process of Krishna consciousness, or am I doing something which I am thinking to be Krishna consciousness. So therefore, this Krishna consciousness being a great science has to be approached like a great science. It is not a sentimental reaction, or it is not just, you know, emotional outbursts. No, it is a science. And it has to be approached as a science. Just as when we think about education, small kids, they start going to school. So education does not straight away, when a child goes to school, it doesn't, like children like to watch TV. So that doesn't mean the children when they are start going to school, nursery and kindergarten. That doesn't mean just because they like to watch TV, they are suddenly taught the principles of television, how it works, how the television signals are broadcast. They don't do PhD level subject matters. They may like to watch TV, they may like to watch various channels, but those subject matters, or even for that matter, nowadays small kids like to use mobile phones, you know, smartphones, but that doesn't mean that they start discussing telecommunication networks when they are when they start schooling. We may like something, but if we have to achieve that, then there is a process. And that process is, you start school, you begin with the 3 R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, and slowly, after the child goes on developing understanding in the basics, and then starts tackling more and more advanced topics, then maybe sometime after say 10, 12, 15 years of basic studies, the child will be able to comprehend how television signals are transmitted and whatever happens. So similarly, Krishna consciousness is a very exact science, and to understand this, tad vijnanartham, to understand this particular science, sa gurum eva abhigachet. We are expected to approach a spiritual master, a qualified, bona fide spiritual master who is connected to a bona fide system of disciplic succession. So, the acharyas, these teachers in the disciplic succession, they always recommend that we read the scriptures with commentaries of previous acharyas. What are these commentaries supposed to be? These commentaries are supposed to give us an understanding of the scriptures based upon time, place and circumstances. The acharyas are specially empowered personalities who can give us an understanding of what the scriptures are trying to tell us according to time, place and circumstance. Not only that, they give us an understanding of how to apply it in our life to get to, as I read out in the first quote by His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, unless we apply it so that there is a transformation in us, it will be just there are so many people in the world who can recite Bhagavad Gita, they can recite verses from Bhagavatam, left, right, center, everything. But we don't know how much is the effect on, in terms of transforming that person's life. So unless, like Prabhupada himself, there was one devotee who came up to Prabhupada once, and he had memorized all the 700 slokas of Bhagavad Gita. And when Prabhupada was told, I'm just paraphrasing, but Prabhupada said, what is the practical value of that? You have memorized, that's okay. But what service are you doing? What is the practical value of what you have memorized? So similarly, we may memorize so many slokas, we may understand so many things from our, even if you have learned Sanskrit, which is a rarity today. So the emphasis is always that our acharyas give, more than the translation, the emphasis on the purports, the tikas. So Srila Prabhupada also, he has given all these purports, and his disciples also after him, they have given these purports. After going through the purports of so many acharyas, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, and so many Sridhar Swami, so many acharyas have given their commentaries, and based on those commentaries, and based on now what Srila Prabhupada taught during his lifetime, and also what Srila Prabhupada gave in the Krishna book, his disciples have given us the purports in such a way that they will be relevant to us according to time, place and circumstance, not just to read as some sort of an armchair speculation, but to actually practice it. And that is the real crux of the matter. What Prabhupada always said, like one time Srila Prabhupada was in what is today called Chennai, at that time it was Madras. So, His Grace Harishauri Prabhu, he writes that when they were visiting Chennai in 1976, at that time they were staying at the house of one wealthy businessman from, originally he was from Rajasthan, but he had settled in Chennai. So he had hosted Srila Prabhupada. And during that time, these people, they said, he himself, this particular gentleman, this businessman, was a member of the Vallabh Sampradaya. He was a very strict vegetarian and everything. So he had given an entire section of his house for Prabhupada to stay. So one morning, after Srila Prabhupada finished breakfast and went back to his room, the husband and wife, the hosts, they came up to Srila Prabhupada's room and they said, first of all, that they wanted to hear about Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Especially they wanted to hear about the Ras Leela, Krishna's intimate activities with the gopis. So Srila Prabhupada, he always was of this opinion that these confidential topics should not be discussed with those who are not qualified. Even we have in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself would discuss these most confidential topics of Srimad Bhagavatam only with very intimate associates. Very, very intimate associates. That is just, it is said, 3.5 associates. He had so many associates, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would discuss. So, Srila Prabhupada said, even for his hosts, he made no exception from this rule. He excused himself by saying that personally he wasn't qualified to speak of such things. And even though his hosts were quite persistent, he just said that I am not qualified. Even though you may be qualified to hear these pastimes, but I am not qualified to speak. This coming from a person who has proven beyond doubt for the entire world to see what was the caliber of his devotional service and what was his relationship with Krishna. But this particular incident is, just before this incident, Prabhupada addresses a press conference and he explains to the reporters that the propagation of the Krishna consciousness movement is aimed at educating the foolish modern civilization that indeed there is God, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. So there is a key to what we are discussing here. So basic problem why this modern civilization, generally people, if they are at all interested in hearing Krishna's pastimes, they are more interested in jumping directly to the 10th canto, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, without reading the first 9 cantos, and even then the 5 chapters describing the Ras Leela. So what is the specific attraction? Because even though there is, ultimately it is like the deep rooted feeling in the heart of every individual, every living entity, that I am the center of this world. And whatever I see around me is for my enjoyment. So this kind of a deep-rooted envious feeling is what brings everybody to this conclusion that I have to read this. Because I will get some fun out of it, some taste out of it. But it is, when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the concept is not to for our enjoyment. It is not like a mystery novel or a thriller novel. Even though these aspects of suspense, romance and everything is there, but those aspects are not there for our enjoyment. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam is not an exercise like reading any mundane novel. A thriller novel, a spy novel, a romantic novel. No. From that we are trying to titillate our own senses, our own brain, our own mind. But reading Srimad Bhagavatam is not an exercise in gaining some fun or some enjoyment for ourselves, some entertainment. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It is actually service, as a service for our own purification. So because this proper mood is not there, as I again refer back to the quote from Isola's Mahavishnu Maharaj, it will only, reading Srimad Bhagavatam will only be an exercise in name and fame. At best. At worst, it can degrade to any level. There is no end to it. So therefore, in order to read Srimad Bhagavatam, in order to try to understand, the first basic thing is we have to understand the basics which Lord Krishna explains in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that you are not this body, we are not this body, we are the spirit soul. And only after realizing this, this is a very simple line, I am not this body, I am the spirit soul. But realization of this one line may take lifetimes. Just realizing. Intellectually we can understand, okay, I am not this body, I am the spirit soul. But realization means when we are faced with a situation where there is a choice between serving Krishna or serving our senses, which comes so many times during our lifetime, not only so many times during our lifetime, practically every moment is like a choice. Am I going to go here? Am I going to go there? Am I going to go towards serving Krishna? Am I going to move towards serving my own senses? What is going to give me enjoyment? Every moment is a choice. And at every moment, what choice we make will determine what we are going to actually experience. So, if we want to actually experience, in fact, what to speak of, I mean, what is our position? I mean, it's so ridiculous when some people, they want to hear Rasalila pastimes. I can't understand. Because even personalities like Lakshmi Devi, who is the consort of Lord Narayan himself, is denied entrance into Rasalila. And even Lord Shiva, he is denied entrance, even though he is told, okay, you can go to Mansarovar and then you take a dip and you'll get a body as a gopi. But still, it's not like he is full-fledged in the Rasalila and dancing. No. He is still made to stand at the entrance. There is limited access. Even though he is there, but he is not completely there. Lord Shiva. So, if we are talking about personalities like Lord Shiva and Sri Lakshmi Devi, I mean, Lakshmi Devi is undergoing penance and austerities in order to be accessible or to access this. And what to speak of then Lord Shiva? Even though he is able to access, but he is still not able to access. I mean, just imagine. And still, understanding, I mean, all, in India especially, this is a big thing. Everybody wants to hear Rasalila. I mean, in fact, just a small observation, that most of the times when you hear about Bhagavat Katha, it is only, I mean, I have seen, mostly Bhagavat Katha means 10th canto, Krishna, Lord Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan, and even in that, a major portion of the time is dedicated to discussing the Rasalila pastimes. It's only in ISKCON that I have seen that Bhagavat Katha, the discussion is more of pastimes from Dhruva Maharaj's pastimes, or somebody talks for whole 7 days, Prahlad Maharaj's pastime, Narasingha's appearance, and there is no mention even about Lord Krishna. It's 7 days of Lord Narasingha's pastime. It's only in ISKCON that we see. And from where does this come? This is the standards that Srila Prabhupada has given us, which he has imbibed from His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whose disappearance day we are celebrating. Like one time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was scheduled to give Bhagavat Katha at Radhakund. So he was already very famous by the time he became sannyasi and a guru of so many disciples and had so many followers. So he was very famous as a very erudite scholar. So therefore, when it was announced that he is going to speak Bhagavat Katha in Radhakund,
Many of the local Babajis and many, many people from local place, you know, the Brajvasis and everyone, they came thinking that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is such a big scholar, he will reveal so many more and more esoteric levels of this Rasalila pastime. And everybody is waiting expectantly. Now what will come? What nectar is going to flow? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur starts this Bhagavad Katha with Janmadyasya Yatonvayat. That is Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse. So maybe the audience was thinking, okay, maybe this is just like a preliminary thing. He will begin, he will speak for maybe today, he will speak this. Tomorrow he will start and he'll start talking about Krishna Lila. So they come the second day. Again he is speaking 1.1.1. Third day, fourth day. And then he's just going on. He spoke for a one full month just about Janmadyasya Yataha. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse. That's it. 1 month, only first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was his Bhagavad Katha. So that is the standard which Prabhupada also transmitted ahead to his disciples. So therefore it is only in ISKCON that I have seen, I mean, not that I am trying to project ISKCON in a big way, but this is just my observation. That in ISKCON when we say Bhagavad Katha, then generally it is like maybe Queen Kunti's prayers or Bhishma Stuti from first canto. I mean, we will have 7 days of Bhagavad Katha, which is just first canto or second canto or third canto or Prithu Maharaj's pastime. It's just rarely, it's very rare that I have heard that, you know, 7 days Krishna, or some speaker in Bhagavad, from ISKCON is conducting Bhagavad Katha and speaking only 10th canto. And even if they speak on 10th canto, it will be Damodar Leela, it will be Govardhan Leela, you know. I don't have any knowledge of any speaker who has spoken Bhagavad Katha 7 days, 10th canto, Ras Leela. No. Doesn't happen that way. Because this is the standard that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given us of 1 month, first verse of Bhagavatam. That is Bhagavad Katha. So, it's a general observation like this. So we have to be so grateful to all these guidance which you have received directly or indirectly through the medium of Srila Prabhupada, that how should we approach? Unless we are very clear, we have realized that I am not this body, not only realized, not only understood intellectually or on a basis, on a level of you know, just the mind and the intelligence that, okay, I am not this body, I am the spirit soul. But unless we are actually acting on that platform, we are not qualified to discuss and study these esoteric pastimes. Because the risk is that we will drag it down to our level. Like Prabhupada mentions, the disciples of Prabhupada, they mention in the purport. This is one of the paragraphs which it really hit the nail on the head. Ordinary people prefer God simply to be a witness of their romantic affairs. When a boy desires a girl or a girl desires a boy, sometimes they pray to God for their enjoyment. I mean, in Bhagavatam it is said, akamo sarva kamova, you know. But mostly even people don't do that. They don't pray to God. They pray to some demigod. We see so many queues and so many things, so many vrats people perform for something like this. So, even pray to God for the enjoyment. But, such people are shocked and dismayed that the Lord can find, when they find out that the Lord can enjoy loving affairs with his own transcendental senses. So basically, unless you understand that I am not this body, I am the spirit soul, and I have got nothing to do with these senses. That is, when we realize I am not this body, I am the spirit soul, we will understand I have got nothing to do with these senses, I don't have to serve these senses. I don't have to enjoy my senses, I don't have to gratify my senses. then obviously what is left for us to do with these senses but to serve the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the perfection of serving the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is achieved by the residents of Brajbhumi, Vrindavan, in different moods. Dasya Bhav, Sakhya Bhav, Vatsalya, different moods. And even in this, the epitome is of the gopis, the conjugal pastimes. But therefore, for that, we have to be able to understand and first relish the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without which, without that foundation, it will be just a pack of house of cards just ready to collapse at the slightest breeze. It will be the house of cards. We may speak so many things about 10th canto, but if there is no foundation of the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, as I mentioned, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has told us, that why first canto, why 1.1.1? Because unless we understand that everything that we see, janmadi asya yataha, everything that is here is actually coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. He is the ultimate controller, proprietor and enjoyer. Till then, we will just try to, you know, superimpose our understanding, superimpose our way of thinking on these pastimes. And drag them down to the level of mundane relationships between boys and girls in this world. So, I would like to stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any questions or any comments, Brajvihari Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Any comments?
Hare Krishna. So, thank you very much for giving wonderful introduction to this very esoteric topic in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in the beginning you mentioned that the way to understand that are we advancing in spiritual life is either we have experience of Krishna, bhakti, paresh anubhava, or we experience viraktir anyatra cha. But however, sometimes we see that, you know, we tend to get virakti, which is very easy in these days because, you know, life is very tough outside. So, how do we understand that what virakti we are experiencing, whether it is actual advancement or it is just... Because we see sometimes our virakti causes lot of confusion sometimes, lot of distress, lot of anxiety and lot of problems for us and also others. So how do we understand that this virakti is the actual result of advancement or it is just external?
If I understand you correctly, when you are saying virakti, you are only talking about austerities being performed, denial of certain things. Now virakti, the literal meaning is detachment. I don't know if I understand you correctly, when you are talking about virakti, you are talking about detachment, maybe performing certain vratas, certain this, something like some devotees do for 4 months during Chaturmas, just eating once a day. But virakti need not necessarily be always a denial. Like for example, what is that? How is that? Always remember Krishna. Smartavya satatam Vishnu, vismartavya na jatuchit. Sarva vidhi nishedasyu etayor eva kinkara. So even if we are talking about virakti, then this virakti has to be subservient to this principle of smartavyam satatam Vishnu, vismartavyam na jatuchit. So, virakti need not always be something where we have to give up something. Virakti can be in a positive way, such that we like to engage in so many ways, reading so many things, which are not necessarily connected to Krishna consciousness, you know. But we feel as preachers, as people living in society, we have to be up to date. So when we are on that platform, where that pareshan, bhakti pareshan ubhava virakti aranyatra cha, then we will not be influenced by this mundane, oh, what will happen if I am in society, I am talking to some people, and then if I say that, oh, I am not aware of something which is a very headline-grabbing event in the country, I am not aware. It doesn't matter. So, virakti can also be expressed in the form where we devote more time to reading and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. We devote more time to chanting the holy names of the Lord, because that is one of the austerities. As Krishna says, what is the austerity of speech? Anudvegakaram vakyam, satyam prihetam tayat, swadhyayam abhyasanam chaiva, vangmaya tapo uchate. So that swadhyaya abhyasanam, studying Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting, or you know, constantly being in touch with Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy names more and more, that is also an austerity. Austerity is not always in the sense that I have to torture my body. Because as conditioned souls, for us to read Bhagavatam more is also an austerity. So what is an ecstatic or is an ecstatic experience for somebody who is on the platform of loving bhakti pareshanubhava or virakti ranetra cha? Why I said that virakti ranetra cha is something which we have to understand is because we can understand that better. And virakti in that sense is not giving up these things, but virakti anachata means detachment from certain things which are born out of our six anarthas of envy, lust, pride, greed. Detachment from those anarthas. Many times, our progress in devotional service is held up only due to our unwillingness to give up our anarthas, rather than there is any shortcoming in the process. The shortcoming in the process comes because of our unwillingness. We are not ready to prosecute it on a more perfectional stage. We can do it. We know it. Krishna as Paramatma within always gives us hints. Always. We know. But are we ready to take that step? Then there is no virakti. This other things about performing vratas and this and that is a very superficial level. This virakti that we are talking is more on the level of consciousness. You may or may not do the vrata. You may or may not fast. Fasting is okay if you can, but what is the outcome of that fasting? If that fasting is going to help us, give us our anarthas, develop a more humble service attitude, then that fasting is big, okay. But if that fasting is going to make us more proud, oh, see, I can fast even without taking a drop of water, then it's pointless. Fasting is not the thing. Like even on Ekadashi, I remember His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu was giving a very nice class on occasion of an Ekadashi, and he said, it's not just fasting on Ekadashi. If we just focus on the fasting aspect, then we are doomed. We will not be able to fast properly. Rather, we have to focus on the feasting aspect on Ekadashi. There is also feasting on Ekadashi. Fasting is for the material senses, our tongue, our nose, our ears. But it is a day of feasting for our spiritual senses, in terms of giving more time to taking darshan of the Lord through the eyes, to hearing more about the Supreme Personality of Godhead through our ears, to reading, to chanting. When we do this more, when we focus on feasting in this aspect of our spiritual senses on the days of fasting, then we will be successful in, then it will be like, we won't even realize. But half our consciousness, more than half our consciousness is only thinking about, oh, it's, I may have acidity, I will get an acidity attack. So even for that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very clear. If you cannot focus or focus on your service, then better you first have prasad and then focus more better on your service, on your chanting the holy names, even on fasting days. Don't unnecessarily make a show of fasting. So virakti is not just on the external physical level. Virakti, that is possible for even very, neophyte devotees. I can remember my initial days in the ashram. I used to feel so easy to fast, but now it becomes more troublesome. I don't know why. Now it is more troublesome. So physical virakti is something which even a neophyte is easily able to do. I don't know, maybe whatever. But when we go finer into the realm of, on the level of virakti, on the level of consciousness, then it becomes very, very difficult. So when I was talking about, and that only we can tell for ourselves. And Paramatma from within will prompt you. No third person from outside is going to, unless, of course, Gurudev or somebody is really spiritually very advanced. But if we cannot expect from our friend circle, somebody will come and tell us, this is the problem. Virakti is, especially on the level of consciousness, is something which we only understand from within. And that was what I was actually hinting at. Because it is ultimately International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Ultimately our consciousness has to develop and be attracted towards Krishna. Naturally the physical body will follow. So I hope I have answered. So if there are no more questions, I would like to end. Gantra Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki jai.